The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. It's on page 97 of the New Testament. Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. Allow me to read the word of God. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Amen. The movie Miljong, or The Age of Shadows, which was released in September last year, is a story about the armed resistance group in the Japanese colonial period in the 1920s. In the movie, there's a Korean man named Lee Jong-chul who lives as a Japanese police officer, a man who betrayed his own country, dreaming of success in his life, thinking that the independence of his country was hard to be reached. One day, his overlords order him to root out members of his country's resistance movement. Following these orders, he approaches the key members of the resistance group and finally meets the leader of the group and gets acquainted with him. The leader of the resistance group asks Lee the question, "On which side of the history do you want to leave your name?" Although Lee betrayed his nation and people for his own success and became a Japanese police officer, he begins to struggle with his life as a Korean, which he had turned away from, compromising with the reality. A comfortable life would be guaranteed if he remains a Japanese police officer, but his ideals would direct him towards fighting for the independence of his country. And he finally turns into a person who supports the resistance movement. Just as the people who betrayed the nation and the people during the Japanese colonial rule were hated by the people, the tax collectors who collected tax in Judea under the Roman rule at the time of Jesus were the target of anger. Granted the right to collect tax by the Roman authorities, the tax collectors collected taxes unfairly to meet their quota and to gain personal income. Although income was guaranteed, tax collectors were hated and despised by the Jews, so it was mostly the Gentiles who would choose to become tax collectors. In the Jewish society, tax collectors were banned from entering the synagogue and could not offer sacrifices at the temple. Neither were they admitted as witnesses in court. Therefore, being a tax collector as a Jew meant that he would be banished from the Jewish society because his relationship with God would be cut off. Nevertheless, Levi became a tax collector, which meant that he was a realist and materialist. Levi was not from the upper class, so he knew very well that his life would be far from being one that gets respect and honor from the people anyway. If it's not a life of honor and respect, the fastest way for him to build wealth would be to become a tax collector. However, what one thinks doesn't always turn out to be the case in reality. As a tax collector, the income was guaranteed, but enduring the people's disdainful gaze was not an easy thing to do. He became a tax collector to gain wealth, but on the inside, he felt a sense of emptiness over whether he should continue to lead his life this way. One day, when he was working at the Capernaum tax office, which was located at the heart of the transportation point, Levi heard that a man called Jesus healed many sick people, including those possessed by an evil spirit, those suffering from the Hansen's disease, and the paralyzed. To Levi, this news was like water for his soul, who was suffering from internal conflict. Finally, Levi saw Jesus and the disciples pass by his tax booth. And this was Levi's turning point in life. Verses 27 and 28. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Jesus saw Levi sitting at the tax booth. Jesus looked at Levi, a Jew who became a tax collector, captivated by internal conflicts and a sense of emptiness. Levi also faced Jesus' gaze on himself. When Jesus said, "Follow me," Levi left his tax booth without hesitation and followed Jesus. When Levi met Jesus, who would take care of his life, Levi held a great banquet for Jesus. Verse 29 says, "Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them." This banquet was, in a way, an evangelistic feast for Levi to introduce Jesus to his colleagues. Just as the saying that goes, "Birds of a feather flock together," people invited to this banquet were Levi's fellow tax collectors and those who were called sinners. As such, Levi was not the only tax collector in Capernaum. Many tax collectors had dinner with Jesus at the banquet, and there were other tax collectors who worked at the same tax booth where Levi worked. So then why, of all those tax collectors in Capernaum, did Jesus call on Levi and said, "Follow me"? Was it because Levi was kinder to the people and was a more honest tax collector? Today's scripture does not mention it at all. It is because the grace of God was with Levi. My beloved brothers and sisters, the reason why God has chosen us as his children among all of his people in the world is not because we are ethically or morally better than the others. It is by the Lord's sovereign and unfathomable grace that he has called us. The reason why he called us is not in ourselves, but in God and God only. And so we can only be humble in front of his grace. People in the world would not even recognize you, but once you become famous or successful, they would intentionally try to approach you. However, Jesus looks at the people whom no one else notices, those who have been abandoned, and he socializes with them. On the other hand, the self-righteous Pharisees and the teachers of the law did not even treat the tax collectors as human beings. They were extremely displeased with Jesus' fellowship with the tax collectors, including Levi. So verse 30 says, "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?'" Parents often tell their children to make good friends. Just as the saying, "He who touches pitch shall be defiled therewith." So, in order to understand someone, it is best to see the people around this person. In a way, what the Pharisees argue seems plausible. So the Pharisees were following the Old Testament. When cleanliness comes into contact with unclean things, then the cleanliness also becomes unclean, and we're avoiding contact with the tax collectors and sinners. However, even the Old Testament had an exception. Exodus chapter 29, verse 37 says, "For 7 days make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. Then the altar will be most holy, and whatever touches it will be holy." Everything that comes into contact with the altar of sacrifice to God became sanctified. It was because of the blood of the sacrifice on the altar. Jesus is the body of the Lamb's blood, the blood of the Lamb that cleanses and sanctifies all things in the world. Just as everything that comes into contact with the altar becomes sanctified, so would whoever comes into contact with Jesus. His sins will be forgiven, no matter how unlawful the sinner is. So when Jesus came into contact with the sinners and tax collectors, including Levi, he was giving them the grace of forgiveness of sins. The reason why Jesus came to this world was to make the Lamb gain life and abundantly. Jesus came to the world valuing each and every person and respecting their integrity. Thanks to Jesus, people began to respect the integrity of children, and the concept of true equality without discrimination began to take hold. Jesus, who came to this world for the people, gave his life for the people, and built the church to save the mankind. So there was a great transformation in the early church that the world could not handle. It was a community in which the masters and the slaves, the Gentiles and the Jews, the rich and the poor, men and women of all ages, without any racial barriers and discrimination, would come together as one. South Africa, which is often called the Europe in Africa, has long been perceived as a racist country, but is a country with beautiful natural environment. If I may briefly share my personal experience, I lived in South Africa for 2 years from 2006, 12 years after Nelson Mandela abolished the apartheid in 1994. After the Dutch settled in South Africa, the British settled in the country, and once the diamond mine was discovered, a war broke out between the Dutch and the British. As such, South Africa's history was tainted with the Western Caucasians exploiting the local Africans to fill their greed. So it was, in a way, inevitable for South Africa to have such racial segregation and discrimination. Shortly after I arrived in South Africa, I became acquainted with an elderly white couple living downstairs. One day, I was talking with this neighbor and saw a group of black people sitting on the grass nearby. My neighbor pointed at them and said to me, "There are thieves who steal things from the others." When I heard this comment, I couldn't help but to be surprised. Even if it is a country with racial discrimination, how can one say such a thing so easily? But I later found out that many of the senior Caucasian citizens had deep-rooted prejudice against black people. As the black administration took office, many Caucasians lost their jobs, and some of the Caucasians, who did not appear to be beggars at all, held up a sign saying, "Unemployed, begging for money in the street." As an Asian, this was a very strange thing to see. I still vividly remember what I saw one evening as I was driving and stopped at an intersection waiting for the traffic light. Several white men and women who were begging around the intersection with the glow of the setting sun on their back were hugging one another in tears. They were a family. With the highway in between, one side was a slum filled with tin roofs, while the other side had luxury townhouses. I couldn't help but fall into a state of confusion as I watched these people beg for money on the roads full of cars such as Mercedes and BMWs. What has turned a country with such a beautiful nature and natural resources so miserable? And that was human greed. Although all people were created according to the image of God, just because of the color of one's skin, the greed that drove the Western Caucasians to exploit the black people bore this tragedy. And over time, the seed of their greed came back to themselves as a boomerang. 2,000 years ago, despite the fact that Jesus came to this earth to overcome all barriers and discrimination in the world, many South African theologians and pastors who follow Jesus have justified themselves claiming, by distorting the Bible, that the Bible supports their racist policies. The God that we believe in is no different from the God that these white Christians, theologians, and pastors believed in. To say that we believe in the same God but have contradicting thoughts means that the faith that we have is different. The racist acts of the white Christians in South Africa back in those days show that faith can also be used as a tool by men in fulfilling their desires. As such, Jesus says the following to the self-righteous Pharisees and teachers of the law who criticized Jesus. Verses 31 and 32. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Through the parable of the doctor, Jesus said that the fellowship with the sinners, such as the tax collectors, is not simply about eating and drinking with them, but about healing them. The Bible, which is the Word of God, sees man in two different views. One is to see men as the children of God, made in the image of God. The other view is to see all humans as sinners before God. In other words, humans are the children of God, made in the image of God, and at the same time, sinners before God. Levi the tax collector, the Pharisees, and the teachers of the law are all sinners in front of God. At the same time, they are all children of God. So then, what would be the problem? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were self-righteous and forgot that they were sinners in front of God. On the other hand, the tax collectors and sinners were in despair and also have forgotten that they were children of God. However, God tells the tax collectors and sinners that they are also children of God. To the Pharisees and teachers of the law, God tells them that they are also sinners. Titles such as tax collector or Pharisee do not matter in front of God. That is why Levi, who was a tax collector, became an apostle of the Lord, and Paul, who was a Pharisee, also became an apostle of the Lord. Public relation, abbreviated as PR, is often used to mean avoid what you can avoid and announce what you want to announce. If Jesus was faithful to this PR strategy, he would have made effective use of his popularity and made the teaching of the Lord as less inconvenient as possible. But in fact, Jesus did the opposite. In the Gospels, Jesus went to a place where he avoided the popularity of the people and taught them challenging teachings, teachings that may cause disputes. So as time went on, many of those who followed Jesus turned their back on him. What about the way he chose his disciples? When scholars or professors of the world today choose their students, they look at their potential at the very least. But the 12 disciples chosen by Jesus did not appear to have any such potential in view of such worldly standards. Most of the disciples were ordinary fishermen from Galilee, and Levi from today's passage was a notorious sinner who worked as a tax collector. Jesus' strategy was not only to call ordinary fishermen of Galilee, but Levi, a tax collector, who was hated and despised by the people as disciples, and to build the kingdom of God through such disciples. It had zero probability of success, according to the world's standards. One of the 12 disciples was a traitor, and when Jesus was crucified, all the other disciples ran away. But Jesus was raised on the third day, and the gospel was witnessed all over the world, and the kingdom of God was expanded. He made the impossible possible with people who seemed to have zero potential. This is because Jesus had the power to rise again from the dead in 3 days. Our ancestors would keep scraps of unused cloths and useless cloth to stitch them up to make pillowcases and blankets. Even a useless piece of cloth can turn into a beautiful quilt if used by these skillful people. In the eyes of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, Levi, the tax collector, looked like a person leading a life of an abandoned piece of cloth, a small piece of useless cloth, a piece of cloth that should be thrown away. However, God, who chooses the weak in the world and shames the strong, did not abandon Levi's life that appeared to be an abandoned piece of cloth, a useless piece of cloth, a piece of cloth that is bound to be thrown away, and told him to follow me, and used him as a tool to accomplish his plan to save the entire world. People find greater meaning and are more touched when we make beautiful work or food with insignificant and trivial materials than when we make them with good materials. Even if we have a few million won worth fountain pen and a top quality paper, they are just a tool for scribble if left in the hands of a child. However, even if it is a stubby pencil and a reusable paper, they become a tool of masterpiece when put in the hands of Picasso. What matters is, in whose hands will the tools be held? Beloved brothers and sisters, we cannot leave our Lord and become the masters of our own lives. Just as Levi, who became a tax collector of Capernaum, as a realist and materialist, realized that the materials he had could not fill his life, what we have cannot fill ourselves. Only the Lord, who rose from the dead in 3 days, is the master of our lives and can bring true meaning and value to our lives. The Lord who called Levi, who had lived a life like a scrap of abandoned cloth, a piece of useless cloth, and a piece of cloth that belongs in a trash can, that same Lord is calling us to follow him at this hour. He says, "I will take care of your life, so follow me." My dear brothers and sisters, even though our appearances and situations may now seem to be those abandoned piece of useless cloth, the Lord who rose from the dead in 3 days will turn us into God's beautiful quilt with his power. Let us give all our lives to the Lord and hope that we may lead lives that follow the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, who oversees our lives, we once again realize that apart from you, we cannot become the masters of our own lives. Only the Lord, who rose again in 3 days from the dead, is the master of our lives, and only you, Lord, can bring true meaning and value to our lives. So we thank you, Lord. We also realize that the Lord who called Levi, who lived a life like a piece of abandoned cloth, a useless cloth, hated and despised by the world, that same Lord is now calling us to follow him. Dear Lord, even though our appearances and situations may now be like the small piece of cloth abandoned in the world, because the Lord has risen from the dead in 3 days, with your power and authority, use us as a tool of the Lord to embrace the entire world. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.